Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Colts Cover 2 podcast. I'm IndyStar Colts insider Jim Aiello, and I'm joined, as always, by his fellow co-host and insider, Joel A. Erickson. Joel, your name is a lot easier to say than the name of the person that the Colts just drafted in the second round. I'm going to get better at it, but it's Dio Odengbo. I'm going to get used to it.
Okay. That's actually not true. My name is Sneaky Hard.
Why is that?
Because my last name starts with somebody's first name.
Okay.
So I frequently get called Eric.
Oh, that's weird. I don't think I've ever called you Eric. I probably will next time.
You might be like the only person who I spend a lot of time around who hasn't. Just about everybody I know has at one point or the other accidentally called me Eric. So I don't know that anybody who's accidentally messing up Dio Odengbo that way. So,
well, you've put a little worm in my brain, so I will. I'm sure I'll call you
Eric. probably like four times. You don't do well when you have those worms in your brain.
I know. I do the same thing with the Julian Justin Blackman thing. Took me forever to get over. Justin and Josh Fields has been a problem for me. So yes, this is something that it's a disease, and I'm not proud of it. But anyway. They drafted a defensive lineman named Dio Odengbo, who is apparently freakishly talented. If you listen to Chris Ballard talk about him, says he's maybe the most disruptive defensive line player that they scouted or watched on tape in the fall, is what he said.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty high praise considering they drafted Quiddy Pay. So that was something I thought was pretty interesting. And he was, you know, pretty adamant that he thought other teams were onto him. Somebody was going to jump him and draft him. He was sweating it out, hoping he would fall to them in the second round. He was very clear that he thinks that Dio would have been a first round pick had he not torn his Achilles in January, which is something we're obviously going to talk a lot about here in a few minutes. Actually, I'll just preview. We're going to talk obviously a lot about Dio, but we'll talk. Chris Ballard finally addressed kind of the left tackle situation with a little more clarity. Justin Houston situation with a little more clarity, and then we'll obviously preview day three a little bit to kind of give you guys, the big picture about what Chris Ballard said today. But to go back to Dio, they love him. They love how big he is. He's 6'5", 280. He's got giant arms, 35-inch arms. I think they love that he can play inside and out. It's a risk, though, and all the things that he said about him, though, it reminded me a lot of what he was talking about with Julian Blackman last year, which was like, we really like this guy. We didn't want him to fall. We didn't want anybody else to take him, so we just jumped and grabbed him. And if he was not hurt, we would have got him. You know, we maybe not have got him at this point. Blackman obviously was coming off a torn ACL in December, but Dio has the torn Achilles in January. Different situations. The Achilles is worse, and it was later. So don't start expecting that we're going to see. You know, Blackman made that miraculous recovery and was back in week two. I don't know that we're going to see that from Dio, but you don't want to count it out either. The Colts weren't going to commit to anything, and neither was he.
I learned my lesson last year on that stuff. I when Blackman was picked last year, right, I said a lot based on what Ballard said about how he probably wasn't going to play till October. It's going to be tough for him to get up to speed. And then he played the second week, and people do not forgive you if you're wrong that way. So on Dio Odengbo, I will say, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know I'm supposed to have a hotter take than that, but honestly, Julian Blackman's a good lesson in that you really don't know how injuries are going to go. And so it looks like he's not going to be able to play. Ballard didn't put a timeline on it. Odengbo doesn't have a timeline for himself yet. It's too early in the process for him to have any kind of timeline in his recovery. But yeah, I'm just gonna leave it up to see what happens, and we'll find out at some point. He'll be on the field. Ballard, I thought, didn't quite rule him out for the season.
No, he didn't.
Which was something that I think, if you were watching the broadcasts, especially I prefer the NFL Network broadcast. I was on NFL Network. And I think the first thing somebody said was that it was going to be a redshirt year. Ballard sort of resisted that idea.
That was Rappaport reported that was going to be a redshirt year, yeah.
So Ballard talked about him as if he could play next year, maybe on the back end of the season. So we'll see. We'll just see. We don't know. like I said, Julian Blackman played. Kamoko Ture's ankle didn't really heal. That's all you need to know about how iffy and hard to predict some of these rehab are.
You know what's going to be interesting, right? Like week, I don't know, 9 or 10, when he, okay, say he's ready to come back in the latter half of the season, we're going to have like, okay, did Ben Banigou do anything? Did Kamoko Ture do anything? Do they have futures with the Colts? And then meanwhile, we'll also be doing the, are the Colts going to keep playing Carson Wentz? Is he good enough, or are they going to try to bench him because they don't want to give up that first round pick? It's going to be a real weird, like November, December, where you're just like, a lot of people have things to prove, or have they proven it already at this point, which I think is going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah. That, I mean, the defensive line picture could be really, it could be really interesting and hard to get into if he comes in October or so. If everybody kind of steps forward and roles are established and people are playing well, it might be a hard rotation to crack. And there's also a way that this goes where it's they're really hoping to get a shot in the arm from him because people haven't taken a step forward. It's definitely going to be interesting. I don't know. I'd be interested to know what normal people thought. I think. So I have a friend who's I apologize, Colts Twitter, for saying that you're not normal. But I think
not.
I think they know.
They know.
But I have a friend who texted me after the Odangbo pick, and his problem was less with Odangbo. I think Colts Twitter is really upset about Odangbo. He was more concerned about left tackle. He was like, he said, we like getting sacks, but also would like the quarterback to not be hurt because he's been sacked a lot. So that's my one normal person weigh in. Whereas I thought Colts Twitter hated the pick. Colts Twitter absolutely hates Dio Odangbo and everything he stands for based on the responses in my feed.
Okay, before we get to left tackle, and we're going to obviously do that because this was an opportunity cost type of situation where they take Odangbo before taking a left tackle. But just to get into him, I think it's probably, even if he does get back health-wise, like as a prospect, he's, from what I understand, he's still pretty raw in terms of his technique and some other stuff. So I it's kind of hard to imagine him making an impact next year just because, one, of the injury, but two, because he's just going to miss out on training camp. He's going to miss out on the preseason where he'd get a bunch of significant snaps against NFL players.
And like, it's hard on a defensive line. It's really hard on the defensive line to make an immediate impact.
Almost none of them do. Like, we talked about this last night with Quiddy Pay. You're going to have to kind of temper your expectations for him, you know, let alone a guy who's coming off a significant injury, who's going to be, you know, position versatile and trying to learn a bunch of different things on the end, on an interior, like, This to me does feel like a 2022 pick, just because you have both the learning curve and the injury to overcome. And that's fine. I mean, again, that's Chris Ballard's decision. They look for pass rush anywhere. This is what I wrote in my story. They look for pass rush anywhere they can find it, and they'll take it when they can get it. And they felt comfortable spending their first two picks on it to try to make sure they had it, which, again, I hate being kind of beating a dead horse, but can I say beating a dead colt? Is that okay? I don't even know how that. Yeah. Is that my?
I don't know. Colts are babies, Jim.
I wanted to kind of like tie it into Indy, but you're right. That just sounded really bad. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Colts are baby horses. Don't kill any baby horses.
Can I beat a dead, like, I don't know, it's, Bronco, I guess?
It's Derby. No, they're majestic. Come on. What are you doing? It's Derby weekend and you're trying to kill horses. This is bad. Very bad.
That's a fair point. You're right. Okay. Oh man, there's a lot of like bad puns that I'm passing through my brain right now. I'm just gonna skip over.
Shouldn't say any of them.
Skip over. I'm just gonna say this again. The beating the dead horse thing I was referring to was Tekwon Lewis, Kamoko Ture, free agents at the end of this year. You don't know if you have replacements for them. You already lost Nico Autry. You already lost Justin Houston, who Chris Ballard said thank you for everything, but there's no room for you anymore tonight.
That is what he said. That was pretty They had left the door open, or Jim Irsay and Ballard had both left the door open.
Yeah.
I think in case this didn't happen in the draft.
Right.
In case they didn't get Quiddy Pay, in case, I mean, they took defensive ends for their first two picks. So,
yeah.
Odangbo is really more than defensive end, but he essentially is what Autry was. So I'm going to count him as defensive end for now with Buckner on the roster. And, they were leaving the door open in case they had to sign Justin Houston.
Right.
It turns out they don't. And so they're probably not. They're almost certainly not going to.
Well, I guess the Odangbo pick doesn't, to me, like it doesn't, that doesn't, I don't, it almost doesn't affect the Justin Houston signing to me. Like,
no, Quiddy Pay is the one.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, Quiddy Pay is the reason they're not bringing back Justin Houston.
That's how I feel about that as well. Like, just because, again, I don't see, you know, Dio being part of the rotation much this year, even if he gets back healthy. So anyway, that's kind of, but again, like they have to start preparing for this future of not having defensive ends and pass rush right now. Like they have Buckner. Like if you were talking about in 2020, not even 2022, go to 2023, just two more years ahead. Like who are you confident can get after the quarterback on your roster right now?
Oh, I mean, it's DeForest Buckner.
And that's it, right? I mean, that's it.
Yep.
Yeah, so they needed to address that in multiple ways. Again, I guess I'm defending the pick, and again, you and I talked about this on the phone earlier tonight.
Oh, I'm absolutely defending the pick. Like I shouldn't say that. I am not saying I believe the pick will work out. I'm not saying I know the pick's going to work out, but I am defending the pick. I like them taking two defensive ends. There weren't tackles really available there at that point. Because Sam Cosmi went at 50 and – or 51?
Cosmi went at 50 – to the Washington. I think it was 50 or 51, yeah.
Cosmi went at 51 to Washington, and Dylan Radins went at 53 to the Titans. And that was really the end of the top tier of tackles. Everybody else had gone.
Let me stop you right there, because there's two things to note on that. One, I would say if they really wanted to, they could have moved up. Like, again, yeah. I don't have –
Well, Ballard said they didn't want to.
Exactly. That's the other point, was they had Dio as the higher rated player on their board. So I think they were going to go with him anyway, even if both those guys were on the board
that's what I wrote. That's how I understood what he was saying, was because he said there were two guys that went right before us, and honestly, we had Dio rated higher anyway.
Yep. That's how I read it too. So anyway.
One of the things I think that I've learned that I wrote wrong over the course of the offseason was that this is a deep offensive line class, but it wasn't a deep left tackle class. Not to the Colts.
Yes and no, I guess. Is it fair to say wait and see too?
Yeah. I mean, they could definitely pick somebody at 127 tomorrow.
No. I mean, isn't it fair to say that there's a bunch of these guys that they decided aren't left tackles that maybe are left tackles?
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely fair. I mean, at this time, 4 years ago now, everyone thought Braden Smith was a guard. So,
yeah. Well, the other thing is, like, I know Sam Cosmi is a left tackle. I don't care what. He played 3 years left tackle at Texas. He has the 33-inch arms. He's huge. He's 6'5". He's athletic. Like, he's a left tackle. That's the prototype. So, you could have had him. They just didn't want him. Which is fine. I'm just saying that was out there. Dylan Radunz, a little light, maybe a little light, just over 300 pounds, but 34-inch arms.
I don't care. I don't care about weight. You can put on weight.
So, yeah. So then he had the requisite arm length, 34. I mean, that's higher. The requisite is 33, technically, but 34 is, so yeah, better than average. So there were guys that were, you know, available there for them. Who was the guy in that went in the third round that you and I thought was interesting? And the Colts were looking at
Spencer Brown from Northern Iowa.
Spencer Brown, the mountain of a person. That's another guy. This guy, left tackle build. Like, I get what Ballard was saying. There were a lot of guys early on with short arms, and you know, maybe not as athletically gifted. Even though actually, I thought a lot of them were really good athletes that just weren't as physically where you'd want them to be. But I don't know. I guess maybe there's other. I'm probably maybe leaving out some other measurements that the Colts would say are, you know, prototypical left tackle. I just thought.
Well, a lot of it's also probably tape. A lot of it's also probably they didn't feel like they could do it on tape.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, like the Bears moved up a bunch for Tevin Jenkins, but I'm pretty sure they're going to play him at right tackle. Like they're just, I don't think they're going to mess with him at left tackle. I think they're just going to stick him at the right side and know he'll be good there. So maybe, again, I could be wrong. I just think, I thought there were some guys they could have had that were left tackles, you know, that have the prototypes, met, I mean, traits that, but they decided not to. And again, like that could absolutely prove to be a mistake and a colossal one, but it right now, I guess we can get into this now. I mean, unless you want to talk more about the edge guy, I think we should maybe talk more about like Ben Banigou and Kamoko Ture and how this affects them. But if you want to get into the tackle stuff, I'm fine with that too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I that's what I wrote about today. So that's what's in my, that's on my brain right now. It, they're taking a risk. There's a risk. I mean, you're going into the third day of the draft saying we could still find somebody in the draft or maybe somebody on the open market. That's a risk. Alejandro Villanueva was bad last year.
Is he? I saw somebody say he was signed by the Ravens, and I don't think that was ever official. But I know he was. They were considering signing him.
But, that's what I thought. I thought it wasn't official yet.
Okay, I that's what I thought too. And then somebody on Twitter said, "I
and actually, that. Actually, the Ravens writers I've been following have been tweeting about how they haven't picked a right tackle yet." So.
Okay, well, then there you go. I'm glad that clear up the confusion. But you're right. I mean, yeah, because they have Ronnie Staley coming back at left, right? And then they traded Orlando Brown. So
he last I saw was expected to sign. I don't know if it's official yet.
Okay, I didn't see anything new either on that. So
And Colts fans know better than anybody else. If it's not official, it's not done.
Yeah. But to your point, let me get you back on track. He wasn't good last year.
No, he's bad. Eric Fisher has the same problem that Dayo Odenbo has.
Yes.
Like, if you're a person who is in the internet right now and is thinking, I want Eric Fisher, but I did not want Dayo Odenbo, you have an issue.
That's why I laugh. Sorry, because I know those people are out there.
Because it's the same injury. And honestly, Eric Fisher is much, 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 much less likely to have a good recovery from him because he's older.
He's 10 years older. Yeah. I mean, he's 32, right? Dio's only 22 right now.
Yeah. I don't know if people out there don't know this. There may be some that don't know this yet, but as you get older, your body does not recover the same way.
I hope everybody, anybody that's 30 and older listening to this knows that very well.
Are there options out there? Technically, yes. Are they good options?
You signed me up for Dennis. I'm still on the Dennis Kelly bandwagon, but I guess that's not.
I thought he got signed somewhere too. I'm having trouble keeping track of who's been signed and who hasn't.
Me too. No, somebody pointed out that was our friend Zach Hicks pointed out to me that Dennis Kelly today is not signed anywhere. Is a free agent. I thought he played well with Titans last year. He's like not super old. He's 31 and he's not coming off a major injury like Eric Fisher. So I don't know. I'm a fan, but again, they have options is the point you're getting at veteran. Are they great options? No, but I think I want to kind of push you on this is like, do they need a great option at left tackle?
No, I don't think so. No.
I mean, it would be look. It would be best if they did. It'd be better for their running game. It'd be better for protecting Carson Wentz if they did. Like, obviously, I saw somebody say this once recently, and I thought this was interesting that your offensive line, is not like it's not about your best player. It's about your worst player. Like, who's your worst player, and that's kind of maybe the level of offensive line that you kind of have to play up to. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but I kind of see
what you're saying. If that's true, then I feel bad about the Colts right now.
It's one theory. I thought it was interesting. It stuck with me. I'm not sure.
My theory is that if you are exceptional in three spots on the offensive line, you can probably cover for one bad spot.
I see. And that's what I think too. I think so too. I wish I could give credit to someone as a Colts Twitter person that I've just looked at Twitter too much today, but somebody said today, and I thought it was a point was that the Colts didn't lose to the Bills because they couldn't stop the Bills pass rush. They lost to the Bills because they couldn't get to Josh Allen.
Right.
In a lot of instances. I mean, they pressured him some. I shouldn't say that. I think they had a couple sacks, but
the pressure was not very good because late in the game, I was texting you and I said the defense literally has not gotten a decent stop in like four drives, and then Autry got a sack, and that was like the first one I can remember.
No, and Rivers wasn't like being harassed either. I mean, he had a pretty clean game. I think the point is they found Jared Bell here. They brought him out of retirement and got a pretty good couple games out of him. They got a good game out of Will Holden at left tackle. Not great games, but I think the point is they can maybe survive with a scrap heap guy.
Yeah, if they don't have Ballard said they still like some guys in this draft.
Yeah.
So if they don't pick somebody to develop, they can probably tread water on it for a year.
Yeah, I don't love that though. Just pick a tackle. Now it doesn't have to be a starter this year, but like pick a left tackle that you can at least try to bring along as a starter. You and I wanted them to pick a tackle last year.
That's true.
If they had started the development process on a tackle last year, this wouldn't be as big of an issue, maybe.
That's true. It's very fair. I did say that, I don't feel like I need to go back on that.
I went back and read some of our draft stuff from last year when I was preparing some new stuff this year, and you and I are both like, getting a tackle now is smart. Anthony Costanzo has told you he's thinking about quitting football. Maybe a good idea to address this.
Right. Sorry, that was a big yawn.
all right. Like almost 2 a.m. That's understandable.
Get a tackle. Developing somebody.
Yeah, grab one in the fourth or fifth round. Again, if they're not starting week one, I'm fine with that. But get somebody in your system that you might feel like, hey, this guy's got a shot.
Yeah, no, I'm for that. Their options, the options are dwindling. It's they don't have great options now. And if they get all the way through the fourth round and they haven't done anything at it, it's going to be even harder to find something. So – I still think they should take one, but I also don't feel like that this draft is a wash because they didn't take one. We're kind of in the middle here, right?
Yeah. I don't think it'll be a wash. I will say, like, okay, so you and I did some mock drafts. We done some stuff and we've talked about, I'm like, I will preach the gospel of the double down at positions to anyone that will listen to me. I love doubling down on positions of need, especially because then you have twice the odds of hitting. I don't love the double down if you don't trade back as much.
Yeah, it's not. So I said this right after the pick, but I ended up picking two defensive ends high in a lot of simulations and felt really good about it. Because the thing is, it's not really the same position. I know it's both defensive ends, but one of them is the rush end, and one of them is more of this hybrid defensive end interior rusher that Danico Autry is. That's what a dang.
That's a fair point. It's
not really two separate positions in the Colts defense. But in all of those scenarios, I had traded down and got a tackle in there too. It's just such a big need. Like the lead to my story today was there's a huge gaping hole in Indianapolis right now.
Yeah.
And there is. It's
been gaping since January.
Unless you feel way better about Sam Tevy than I do.
Or Will Holden or Julian Davenport, who, by the way, we continue the highest praise that we've gotten from Chris Ballard. I thought he upped it today. On Sam Tevy was
on Tevy, not on anybody else.
Correct. It went from he's played football before to he's played some winning football, which was, I guess, an upgrade. The quotes weren't the most flattering. I had some technical difficulties, like just right in the middle of Chris Ballard's interview, which was very frustrating. But did he sound complimentary, or was it just kind of lip service? I didn't really, I only read the transcript and then.
He sounded like he realized he shouldn't just say he's played football before and added something on. That was my read on it.
He's played football. He's played winning football. Okay, got it. Okay, so it's.
Let's just put it this way. Let's just put it this way. I didn't write my left tackle story around Sam Tevy.
Yeah, I don't think the Colts are playing their left tackle position around Sam Tevy, but maybe we'll live to maybe, you know, in 6 months we'll be like, man, they did fine with Sam Tevy, but hard to see it.
It's hard to see it now. If they did, it would be a feat on the level of discovering Mark Lewinsky, honestly.
Yeah.
The problem is that when you say that, people are going to think, oh, well, they could do that. It's really hard to do Mark Lewinsky. It's hard to find a 4-year starter that somebody else didn't want at all. But maybe they can do it twice.
Harder at tackle than guard too.
Yes. And this is something if I said this on the podcast already, I don't remember. This is what happens when we do this late. But like, if you look at the best offensive tackles in the league, they are almost entirely first round picks.
Yeah.
The only player who would have still been available in a different draft is David Bakhtiari from Green Bay. He was a 4th round pick. There's a couple of 3rd round picks. For very different reasons. Teron Armstead was a 3rd round pick because he was a freakish athlete who had played at a small school. Orlando Brown was a 3rd round pick because he played at a big school and tested terribly. but even those guys would be gone in this scenario. So it's really just Bakhtiari. That's the only one of the best left tackles who comes from beyond that 3rd round range.
It made me laugh because today Chris Ballard said finding a left tackle is hard. And I was just like, but you have to try, right? Like, yeah, but you have to give it a go. So again, I'm not saying
the thing is though, I think by the time they picked Odangbo, I mean, they could have traded up and taken one of those guys. It doesn't sound like they liked them all that much. But after that, what came off the board after that? Well, I guess it depends on how you feel about Spencer Brown.
He was late 3, though. They would have had to trade up or mid 3, I think, or something like that.
They would have had to trade back or trade up for him. I think probably for him to be on the board where they would feel good about picking him. Because like a lot of teams, they don't want to reach down into the cards. They'd rather take the guy off the top.
Shockingly, after Cosme went, I was team trade down. So I was actually mostly team trade down anyway, but it's weird. I wonder, this is the first time in Chris Ballard's career, honestly. I mean, nah, that's not true. I shouldn't say that. I don't know about Kansas City and Chicago for sure, but it's the first time in Indy that he hasn't had more than first two day picks. I mean, usually he has like 5. So
there's almost always a trade in the first 2 days too.
Always. There's actually always been a trade except for the very first year. 2017, he didn't trade in the first 2 days. He traded on day 2. Or I'm sorry, on day 3, he traded some stuff, but that was it.
Yeah, this is an interesting Ballard, because on the one hand, he's going after the defensive line, which is very Ballard. On the other hand, he's not trading down, which is not very Ballard.
It's you know what it is? I mean, we still have 4 more picks to go, and so I'm sure other positions will be addressed, but like right now there's been 2 picks. They're both defensive lines. So it feels like the Colts are ignoring tight end, cornerback, you know, linebacker, safety, and then obviously left tackle. And so you're like, man, this team has so many, maybe not immediate needs in certain spots, but needs, depth needs. And you're like, oh, they just keep pounding the same position. They still do have 4 more picks. I think we need to kind of see the complete picture here, but I guess I'm not going to take it back. As I said, I like the double down in terms of defensive line. I just like it better when you trade back.
I also think I saw somebody say that defensive line was one of the strongest positions on the team. And I don't agree with that at the defensive end position. I think their tackles are great. DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart are great, but I don't feel good about the Colts defensive ends right now. It's a lot of hoping that somebody steps forward or is able to play. It's a lot of projection rather than somebody you can actually count on. So I don't think that their defensive end, like, it's hard for me to call their defensive line strong because
Tyquan Lewis is their best defensive end right now.
Yeah, I didn't like their defensive ends. Whereas
I like Tyquan Lewis, but yeah.
It's different on the offensive line where I like four of the five guys.
Yeah.
And so well,
yeah. To your point though, maybe this is why Chris Ballard decided to double up. Got Kudipe, got Dio, and decided hopefully by next year you feel a lot better about the defensive ends.
Well, they also need a breakthrough there. They have kind of been stuck right around 40 sacks in the Matt Eberflus era. It's been different people each time. It was Autry and Leonard the first year. It was Houston the second year. And then this year it was mostly DeForest Buckner driven, but with Autry and Houston kind of flashing alternately. They've never really been able to break out of that 40 to 42 sack range, which puts you in the 12 to 18 range, depending on the year.
Yeah.
Of where you are in the NFL. They want to be a top five team. And to do that, they need actual foundational pass rushers, which typically you find in the draft. I mean, sometimes you get them in free agency or through trade, but typically you find them in the draft. And so I don't hate that they took two swings at finding foundational pass rushers who could maybe lift that, even if it's not this year, down the road, give them what they actually want out of the pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're you know, in 2 years, you've got a defensive line of Dio and Kudipe and DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart. That's a really good defensive line, assuming those two guys both develop the way you hope. So, but it's, yeah, I mean, that's a long way away. And again, like in 2021, I don't know, man. Like I said, I like Kudipe a lot. I really do, but I think it's gonna take a little time. Yeah. They might struggle there. They might struggle at left tackle. They might struggle at corner. Like, I don't know. I mean, Xavier Rhodes had a fantastic year last year. Does he do that again? I don't know. Where does Rock go? Like, where, you know, does TJ Carey give you as many good snaps as he gave you last year? Again, you can count on Kenny Moore. I'm not doubting that, but there's some questions on this defense again. And a lot of it has to do with the fact they decided not to do much in free agency. And that's the thing too. Chris Ballard said today that, you know, financially they just didn't think it was smart to spend that much money on defensive ends in free agency, which is, I get that mentality, but you better hope your rookies hit quick because you don't have a lot of wiggle room right now.
Yeah. It comes back to something I've been saying all offseason, which is this approach is putting a ton of pressure on the draft.
Yep.
And they need these picks to be difference makers the way some of their other picks have been difference makers over the years, over Ballard's years here. Now I will say this, if Kudipe and Dio Odengbo hit and they do pretty well at left tackle, I give my warning again, there will never be another free agent signed to the NBA.
Yeah. No, we'll just trade everybody for more draft picks.
But that's also probably not necessarily a bad thing because that would mean you have foundational players all over the roster. But,
well, speaking of trading people for more draft picks, and again, I don't know where do you expect? What's your expectation on? Is Ben VanHeghe a member of this team at the end of this draft?
I still think so.
I do too, but I think it's a little less certain than it was a couple days ago.
I agree with that. I think. If you think about Odengbo as a Lewis Autry replace, like as a, I kind of had to put those two together because those two together is something like 1,050 snaps in pretty much the same role. They lost Autry, so they lost 650. If you promote Lewis, and I mean, Odengbo won't be able to play, but in an ideal, at least right away, if in an ideal world, it's those two. So. If you look at that as being different, I think the reason that Ben VanHeghe is probably not on the is probably not candidate to be traded the way Quincy Wilson was traded or Hassan Ridgeway was traded. If it's not, it's because you need him there to protect against Kamoko Ture's ankle not healing the way you think it might.
Yeah.
Which is very possible. That's
and the rookie's not developing. I agree. I think so too. I also see him, I simultaneously see him as the most likely trade candidate on the team. If Ballard's looking for a fix.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. One thing I did notice when I started typing out all the names, I don't know if all of these guys are going to make the roster.
I put that in my story. There's going to be some guys who could cut. Robert Windsor's in there, by the way. Who knows?
In terms of just defensive ends, you're talking about Lewis, Pei, Ture, Banigu. We're up to four already. Muhammad, Rochelle. That's six. Defensive tackle is Buckner and Stewart. Taylor Stallworth is still in that mix. Oh, you know, did I say Odangbo?
No, you didn't say no. And then they brought in Brown, I want to say. The name is the guy that's
assuming. Assuming Odangbo starts the season on PUP, like maybe right there you have 10, but it's pretty crowded at defensive end, and I could see somebody not making it there.
Agreed. It's gonna be tough too, especially when the Colts draft two more defensive ends tomorrow.
what if Ballard just did like used six picks and all six picks for defensive ends?
Twitter might explode, so that would be fun.
Like in the fourth, he goes Ellerson Smith.
Best player available, baby. BPA every time.
In the fifth, you know, this just keep going down the list. It's always an edge. There'd be a part of me that would think that's really hilarious.
I would too. Well, okay, so in all seriousness, before we wrap this up, because it's been, I hope people, I think we've gotten what we needed to get to, but I guess I just want to ask, what do you think day three is going to bring? Hard to name specific prospects. I understand that. So I'm not going to ask you to do that, but, in terms of what you'd like to see or what you think might be done, where do you think the Colts might head? I guess outside of tackle, but to me, I think developmental tackle at this point is pretty key.
Down here in the back, you're picking positions that people don't value as much. So I think a linebacker probably, maybe a safety.
Yeah.
Linebacker and safety, I think. Those would be the two. Wide receiver, maybe two. But yeah.
I'd say, yeah. And then I throw a corner in there too, if you can get a guy. But they don't, I mean, you might not have room for it, a developmental corner anymore when you brought back Rhodes and Carey, and then you already have Tell and then Kenny and Rock. You might be kind of maxed out on corners that you can carry. But anyway, I would have liked to have seen them draft a developmental, again, a corner who could have learned behind a guy like Xavier Rhodes, but maybe not anymore. I don't know.
Still have
more about Tell.
It'd have to be somebody who kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit in the corner class that you really like. Like you said, Marvell Tell would be the kind of guy. But yeah, safety, linebacker, some of those are positions. Like they got Kari Willis in the fourth.
They can get a starter here. Like I think, this is the last. This is their last pick where they can maybe get a starter.
They got Anthony Walker in the fifth. Some of those positions. Yeah. Some of those positions that aren't valued as highly by teams up high, that means that there's starter level players down here if you can find them.
I wrote about recently was running back too. I would be interested. I don't think it's a great running back class. Actually, I think it was pretty crazy. You didn't see many running backs go off the board here in day two, but they do have three guys that are heading for free agency next year behind Jonathan Taylor. So not something to ignore either on day three. I'm thinking about most likely trade candidates, maybe Wilkins, but I don't know that you get a seventh round pick for him. So anyway, that would be the two guys I guess I would bring up would be Wilkins and Banigu. But yeah,
yeah.
Those are the positions. I guess, just a little bit of everything, right? We did, the only thing we really didn't talk about, tight end is something that they could absolutely try to do, but Chris Ballard is hell bent. He's 40. He's now 40 for 40 at no tight ends. So
yeah, they probably won't.
He's just not going to do it. So
they probably won't.
40 picks, no tight ends. Pretty interesting. So, and 10 from the 10 from the Big Ten. So 25%. So if you're going to guess, go Big Ten.
That's the exactly. Way exactly 25% right now.
Yep. Yep. It was 30. It was 10 out of 39 going into the day. And then he went SEC. So
what's his SEC number?
I think SEC is, I think it's like right behind. I think it's like eight. I think it's eight or nine. I can't remember. It's really close.
Well, but that's because the SEC has more than anybody else. So
yeah. Well, Big Ten is number one, SEC. And then he's got some ACC, and then he's got plenty of Pac-12, and he despises the Big 12.
Well, he likes defense, so that explains
right. Just one Big 12. So yeah, it's a fun fact. Don't go Big 12 if you're gonna guess what Kip Ballard might
do. If you're mocking what he might do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I think they got some holes to fill. I think you might see a trade back from four. Like at this point, I think you might try to collect a couple extra picks, but I've been projecting that for 2 days. And I've been wrong both times. So
we've now both pre-written trade down stories that just disappeared into the ether.
Yep. No. Yeah. Again, you can. I would think that that's an option this time around. But
I'm up for the next pick, which means that you have to do it again.
I'll just get my old one.
I didn't save my old one. I wasn't that smart.
No, I just do Google Docs and then I overload my memory and yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff. So, all right, guys. Well, that's gonna do it for us on Cover 2. We've hit everything. Like I said, we're gonna do tomorrow. Will be a lot more, not a lot more. I think we've been pretty comprehensive already, but we'll be more comprehensive because we'll get a chance to talk to Ballard at the end of his draft, talk to some of his scouts about why they like the guys that they did, and then kind of get. I think we'll have the whole picture now. Like I said, I know it's been two defensive linemen right away, but four picks to go. Twice as many picks left. I know they're a little bit later in the draft, but give it time, see what he does, and then we'll kind of evaluate the whole thing. But yeah, that's going to do it for us on the Cover 2 podcast. Thanks for listening. Come back tomorrow. I have more for you then.